Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Yeah. 104.5 The Zone, 636 The Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Roll by any Tennessee Lottery retailer. Have some fun with August Instant Games today. We always have fun when Jimmy Himes joins us from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. Jimmy, what's going on this morning?
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
I'm good. Give us a schedule for Tennessee. Now, there's a scrimmage coming up this weekend, right?
Yeah, practice last night. They got another one today. It'll be a very light practice, and then they'll have the scrimmage tomorrow. It is closed to the public, which they have been for several years. Then we'll snoop around and try to find out what happened. they'll take off. I think they're going to take off either Sunday or Monday, possibly even both, but so that's kind of what the schedule looks like for Tennessee over the next couple of days.
Jimmy, does waterboarding, is that one of your techniques to get information about the scrimmages?
That and prying their fingernails back.
Okay.
So that's another way to, yeah. But we have different methods.
Jimmy has a very specific
I
set
have
of
my
skills.
Methods, yes.
What were you able to gain from the first one, based on folks you maybe spoken with, and in the practices that have followed this week?
Well, Jeremy Pruitt said Garen Tunnell didn't have his best day. There was some miscommunication. There were some missed assignments. The passing game wasn't as sharp as they wanted it to be. Marquez Callaway said there were some explosive plays that occurred during the scrimmage. They like what they have seen out of Eric Gray. I think he had a pretty good scrimmage. Warren Burrell continues to impress. He has moved into being the number three cornerback. And I'm curious, he may end up starting at the nickelback or star position with the absence of Baylen Buchanan, who's got the narrowing of the spinal cord. And there's no telling if he's going to be back or not. Henry To'oTo'o continues to impress. In fact, it's amazing that Pruitt said already that To'oTo'o might be able to call the defensive signals. He has picked things up that quickly. Kavarius Crouch also has played well. And they've got a really good group of young players. I like them. Offensive line struggled a little bit. They didn't have their best scrimmage. Let's see. Those are the things that I can remember from that first scrimmage.
Jimmy, you mentioned Eric Gray. What do you think about this running back group? It seems like a pretty talented bunch. You know, they have an interesting combination of guys. So much of it depends on how the offensive line plays. But as far as the talent level of that group, what do you think?
I think it's good. It's certainly in the SEC, they have a lot of elite running backs. I'm not ready to put any Tennessee running back in that category yet. But David Johnson, the running backs coach, mentioned yesterday that Ty Chandler has run a 4.3. Now, sometimes that could mean a 4.30 or a 4.39. I don't know which it is. Yeah. But if you're below a 4.4, you're fast. And Chandler is, and also he mentioned, and look, everybody knows this, get the ball to him in space. He's not a guy that's a really good runner between the tackles. And when Tennessee did get Chandler out in space, either with a tweet or flare passes, screen passes, he was dynamic. He needs to get at least 1,200 yards from scrimmage this year. Last year, off the top of my head, I'd say he had close to 800, 600-plus rushing and close to 200 receiving. But he needs to be in that 1,200-yard range. I think Eric Gray has some of the skill set of Ty Chandler. Jordan is a different kind of a back, and he's got a little bit more power than Chandler Gray. And then Banks is the most powerful back of all. He weighs 225. He was prone to fumbling last year, but I haven't heard any issues with that so far. So maybe he's kicked that. And I think Banks is a valuable back for Tennessee because I think he's the best short yardage back. And Tennessee has had trouble in recent years converting short yardage. They need to be able to do that. I think Banks is the best answer there.
Our guest is Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville.
Well, Jimmy, I know you're getting tired of answering this question, but about the Solomon kid. Did he turn in his, I guess, eligibility paperwork and everything on time so we could figure out what the heck is going on here? I don't understand why the holdup is.
Well, first of all, I can tell you that Tennessee did not submit the papers right away. I can't tell you exactly when they did it, but I remember a comment from Jeremy Pruitt during spring practice in April in which he indicated they hadn't filed the papers yet. And I was kind of surprised by that because I know it was a little bit more complicated perhaps than others, but it doesn't seem like it would take you from January to April to figure it out. So then when Tennessee submitted the papers, the NCAA came back and said, we need more information. So then Tennessee resubmitted more information. I don't know an exact timeline on that, but I do know that Tennessee was what I would consider to be late to file the appeal. Then they had to answer some questions from the NCAA. Now they're still waiting. But there's no reason this thing should be dragging on like this. There have been some decisions made within 2 weeks of the appeal being filed. The longer this thing goes, the less optimistic I am for Aubrey Solomon.
I know Buchanan, it seems that he's going to be out or maybe even Richard. But I want to know, when did they find out about his spine injury? When did this all happen? Like, was he at practice or did it happen outside of the university? When did they find out that he had, a spine injury?
Well, I guess I shouldn't tell myself too much. I was told in June that Baylen Buchanan might not be able to play. Oh. But it was from a source. I only had one, and I wasn't able to confirm an additional situation with the neck injury. So they have known about this for a while, and I think they have done some testing on it. And they announced around August the 1st, July 31, somewhere in there, that Buchanan would be out the first 2 weeks. And my suspicions continued to grow about whether or not he'd play at all, because I had a source that told me in June they didn't think he'd play again. So they're continuing to run tests. As you guys know, there are varying degrees of narrowing of the spine. There was a player years ago, you might remember this, he was a really good player from Georgia, he's a linebacker. His name was Jarvis Jones, went to Southern Cal. And Southern Cal said he's got a neck injury, can't play, doesn't pass the medical bill. And so he transfers to Georgia, becomes an All-American, and then he was a high draft pick of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The point there is there are different degrees of it. Mm. So Tennessee is doing all the testing they can do to find out whether or not it's going to be safe for him to play. Here's the danger. If you have a difficult situation like that and you take a bad lick, you could be paralyzed. Oh. So that's the thing they have got to be concerned with. So they're still running tests. I don't know if he's going to play or not because I don't know the degree of the narrowing of the spine. But it certainly is a serious issue for Buchanan.
Oh, good stuff.
Our guest Jimmy Himes from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville. More of Jimmy coming up in a moment. Here on the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mark's going to give us a thing or two about Mortgage Investors Group.
That's right. Mortgage Investors Group wants you to know zero down VA loans for veterans and military members can help you achieve the American dream of buying a home. That's right. Make it a reality. Contact Mortgage Investors Group to get qualified. After all, VA loans offer low competitive interest rates, no down payment necessary, and no private mortgage insurance. So start thinking about owning a home today, and Mortgage Investors Group can get you started. In fact, they'll tell you, get ahead of the other buyers by getting pre-qualified before you start looking. Pre-qualification gives you bargaining power and can help you close quicker, get pre-qualified, get moving. 7 years ago at this time, I was looking for a home. In fact, that was a huge thing in late August. And Mortgage Investors Group armed me with the knowledge. I'm a happy and satisfied customer. They really made that experience one, I understood and was able to navigate. And Mortgage Investors Group is celebrating being in business for 30 years. They're the number one lender in the state of Tennessee, number one USDA Tennessee lender, and number one THDA lender. So let them put that experience to work for you, or go to MIGonline.com for the office nearest you. Equal housing lender, license number 109111.
So
Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. The state is ready. The fan base is ready. Your team is ready. Be there on game day. Help your Titans do it. Historic season. For season tickets, call 615-565-4200. 615-565-4200. We've made the call to Knoxville. Jimmy Hines is on the line with us. Sports Radio WNML.
Yes, Jimmy, we've talked about Warren Burrell and how he'll impact the secondary now that Buchanan's out. But how is Schamberger doing? And doesn't he play the star, too? So I'm just interested to see who do you, if you were making a bold prediction, like who you think is going to start at this early in camp. I mean, who's going to be out there, I guess, at the skill positions at the corners?
I think that Burrell has made more noise in the secondary so far than Schamberger. Schamberger is a talented player. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, he got in the coach's doghouse last year, did not play that much. I have not heard any negative things about him so far in camp. I think it is between those two probably. And right now, I think what you'll see in the secondary, if I had to guess right now, I think it's Thompson and Taylor, the cornerback. I think Burrell's going to be the starter at the star position, although Schamberger will have something to say about it. Warrior and Trayvon Flowers will be your safeties, the starters. That's the way I see the secondary opening up. But Burrell has been really good in camp. And here's the thing I don't know about their system and their philosophy, and I'll try to get an answer to this, as to whether or not they feel like it's would you rather have, for example, Bryce Thompson at cornerback or the star? What is considered the tougher position to play? I'm going to guess cornerback. But anyway, if you prefer Thompson at corner, then Burrell's going to be your star. But if you but maybe you want Thompson at the star, so then you move Burrell to corner. I don't know which way Tennessee sees that, but my guess is that it'll be a battle at the star position between Burrell and Schamberger.
Jimmy, you know, you keep hearing more shuffling on the offensive line. They're talking about Brandon Kennedy, you know, getting some work at left guard. My question is, are they going to sort of use the Georgia State game as an audition maybe for the offensive line, that they really won't have their five set going into that contest?
That's a good question. I'm not sure which way they'll go. My guess is they're doing a lot of this to try to figure it out before the first game. But to your suggestion, I would not be surprised if they look at a lot of different combinations in a real game. You learn more about that than you do even in scrimmages, obviously. So there's a chance that they would do that. But I think the other thought process is, they need to have offensive linemen that can play multiple positions. They need Kennedy to be able to play center and guard. They need Jameer Johnson to be able to play guard and tackle. And that provides you with more depth. So when you have the old saying, the next man up, it might be that the next man up is a guard, but he's your next best lineman, so you put him at tackle. So and it's the old former philosophy. Make sure they can play multiple positions up front to help your depth. I also think that helps you with your concept. I think if you learn how to play multiple positions, you become a smarter offensive lineman and probably can build more cohesiveness among your group.
All right, let's assume that Aubrey Solomon is not going to be eligible. Oops. What does that leave Tracy Rocker? I mean, we all know, Jimmy, that the good teams in the SEC are pretty much too deep up front, especially defensively. What does that leave Tennessee with?
It leaves them not even one deep. Tracy Rocker spoke to the media yesterday. He did say he did make a comment about Solomon. Somebody asked him, what about that situation? He said, hey, you need to talk to compliance. And I don't think he was taking a shot at UT's compliance, or I don't even know if it was the NCAA. I thought I heard a voice of frustration about why this thing hadn't been settled. But to your question, so he mentioned that Latrell Bumpus has been their best pass rusher among the defensive linemen. Greg Emerson has been their best run stopper among the group. So it would seem like those two might be your starters. My guess is that Matthew Butler would be the other guy. But there's only one start returning of those that are able to play right now on the defensive line. That compares to 61 returning starts on the offensive line. I don't think the defensive line is going to be very good no matter who they put up there. Now, if they get Solomon in there, he's the starter right away because I thought he was their second-best defensive lineman, but Gooden, who's out for the year. So they got their work cut out for him there. And I don't think they're great at linebacker. I think if you have great linebackers, you can kind of mask your defensive line a little bit. I don't think Tennessee has that. I think they have good linebackers, not great. So the reason that I'm not as optimistic as some about this season for Tennessee is I don't think the defensive line is at the SEC level that is necessary. I think teams will be able to run on Tennessee. I think that other than Darryl Taylor, they don't have much as a pass rushing situation. I think that's the greatest concern for Tennessee entering this season.
And I just wanted to ask you a question that sort of slipped out yesterday here with the Patriots, scrimmaging the Titans 2 days. And that is that Daron Harmon, one of the Patriots, said that Jerod Mayo is going to be the shot caller on defense with, you know, the departure of Brian Flores to the Patriots, or rather to the Dolphins as head coach. Does that surprise you?
Well, slightly. Look, Jerod Mayo is very smart. One reason the Patriots took him with the first pick is the story I recall is they put him up on the chalkboard and they went over all these different scenes and stuff, and he had an answer for everything.
Yeah.
And the Patriots really like smart players. And I thought Mayo, if he hadn't been injured, he would have been a great player at Tennessee. I always liked his production when he was healthy, but I knew he was very bright. So good for him. And it looks like he's quickly ascending into the ranks. He's the guy that, if he's doing that, he's the guy that's going to be a defensive coordinator soon. And I wonder if he might have the makings of being an NFL head coach one day.
Jimmy, great stuff. Have a good weekend. We'll catch up with you on Monday and you know, try to work your sources and see what you can find out.
We'll put them on the board.
All right. Sounds good, man. See you later.
See you guys.
All right. Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville, where you can find Jimmy Himes. He joins us each Monday and Friday right here on the Wake Up Zone with the latest on Tennessee.